been out killing demons already this morning. I was sitting there praising and worshiping. I was watching that little red wasp stand, sitting up there. And I was watching to see what he was going to do. He was liking the warm weather. Huh? He was. But I had my eye on him. I was praising the Lord, and I was watching him. And I was like, I can knock him down, and I can step, keep him under my feet, praise God. Huh? I would have, but I wasn't going to let him sting, that's for sure. But I got him with a spray. All right, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Can the young man come get the bucket? Oh, here she comes. Hello. Praise God. She thinks. Yeah, could you pass out the envelope, please, sir? All right, hallelujah. Welcome, everybody, to Voice of Believers Church Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Let's see, we're over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. And I want to say this before we get cranked up there. This is the year of 2016, the year of the great breaking loose. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. So we're going to say it as a family, church family. Y'all ready? Let me say it one more time where you can get it down in your mind. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Y'all ready? 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. Break loose from that old devil, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm expecting great things to happen. Amen. All right, 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. And that word grace there is favor, unmerited favor. It's favor with God, favor with man, and it's his blessings on your life abroad towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance to every good work. Every good work, praise God. And I stand here. God's a giver, and I that was the first thing I did after I got saved was start giving. It just seemed natural to me to want to give and to want to tithe. And, you know, here I was, because God was a giver. His heart is a giver. And ever since then, God has supplied every need to give. Not only my tithe, but off offering when people need or had a need or something. He's always supplied it, praise God. I think of a story. This lady, she learned about God's commandment about giving and everything and tithes. And she didn't have nothing at first. She had a good set of pots and pans. That were her good set. She had the old one. She had a real nice, fine set. And she learned about this. But she had a lot of bills and debt, and she wanted to get... she needed help, so she learned about it. What did she do? She took those good pots and pans. That's where she started at, and found a lady that didn't have none, just one or two, just old junkers, and she give them to her. But she said her testimony was before she even got home, because God knew what was on her heart as to give, that the bills were paid. Praise God, those bills were paid. She was, and then she just used the ones she had, the little older ones, and she believed for her new ones. Praise God. And she just kept on. God kept supplying her needs to be that giver. Hallelujah. He'll supply your needs to give. That's the good thing about God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, your word there, that you do supply our needs to be givers like that. You make sure that we have plenty, Lord. And that, Lord, we just thank you for it, that all our needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You said bring the tithes in the storehouse of the Lord, and prove you in it. And you open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us. There's not room enough to contain it all. You rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff. Satan, you can't touch our stuff. Our stuff lasts longer than natural. It's got supernatural on it. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. The enemy can't destroy our stuff. And we give you praise, and all shall call us blessed because of you, Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, young man, you can take that up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sirs. This Monday night recovery, Monica is going to be doing a teaching, right? Monica will be doing a teaching at 6:30, praise God. It'll be fun. And then I'm going to be starting a new series on Wednesday night. It's going to be it's the same series, but it's the next part of it. It's the helmet of salvation, which is your mind. And I'm going to be talking about how these are God's thoughts. You know, you take a thought, his word is his thought. And when he says it, that's what he's thinking. And you can look at it and say, that's a God thought, praise God. What he wants us to do, that's his thinking, his thoughts. And we need to get that into our mind, hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that starting on Wednesday. Friday at 7 p.m. here, we'll be doing a healing service, praise God. All right, Pastor Monica, come on up. Monica's going to be sharing the word this morning.
On Wednesday. Amen. Well, good morning. I need my glasses. Welcome to the Sunday morning edition of Voice of Believers Church, where we learn how to overcome and win in life. Praise God, because you know what? We're in a battle, but we're not destined to be slaughtered. God, that's not God's will. He wants us to be victorious, and he gave us his thoughts on how to do it. Praise God. Well, youth and children are dismissed. Amen. No? Does anyone else need to? Okay. We're good. Thank you. Amen. Aww. She's like, don't forget me. Oh, she's so cute. Amen. Well, I want to pray. Well, Father God, here we are, your people, Lord. And Lord, we need to hear from you. They don't want to hear what I have to say. We want to hear from you. You said to study, to show yourself approved, and I did. But Lord, just anoint me, Lord, to bring your message, Father God. Because you said, Lord, that you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm expecting that. I'm calling for that. That we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here encouraged, set free, healed, and delivered. And Lord, you said that when we understand, we would be healed. So give us supernatural understanding. And Satan, we bind you from stealing the word. We bind you from operating here in any way you get. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. Y'all ready to hear a word from God? Well, in the times we're at, we need a strong spirit. And so that's what I'm teaching on, is how to have a strong spirit. I don't want to bust that. And so my first scripture, which Lyle has to work on this to get it working, so we're going to have to look it up, is Ephesians 6:10. And we know this, but Ephesians 6:10 is the situation we're in. And I'm going to read it in the New Living and then the Amplified, and it says this. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says this, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. He's got strategies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, even though he uses flesh and blood enemies, right? You know, we're the body of Christ. Well, Satan has his servants too. But that's not the enemy. It says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So therefore, or because of that, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. See, God's righteousness, which is a free gift, is our body armor. Praise God. But we have to resist. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. See, the good news gives us peace in our, so we don't fall apart in our mind. So that we'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows, the fiery arrows of the devil. That's the attacks, amen, in the mind. And then put on salvation as our helmet, which is our mind. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. I lied. I do not have an amplified, just the New Living. Did not mean. But see, there's the reason why we have to have a strong spirit. Because I'll tell you, a weak spirit brings death. A strong spirit brings life. A weak spirit brings sorrow and fear. But a strong spirit brings confidence and joy. A weak spirit brings in the plans of the enemy. But a strong spirit brings in the plans of God. And that's what we want. Amen. My next scripture is the foundational on the strong spirit. And it's Proverbs 18:14. I apologize, it's not up here. We are going to be working on that. But it says this, and I have it in different versions. It says, the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Another one says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear it? And then the King James, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Sustain means to carry. Amen. And then the next one is going to be Proverbs 24:10. And I'm just laying a foundation. Proverbs 24:10 says this, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Or if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Now, he's not saying this to bring condemnation. It's not about condemnation. It's about how. How? About the consequences. We don't have to be weak. We can be strong. Amen? We need to get born again. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And then we need the Word of God. And that's how we have a strong spirit. My next scripture is going to be Joshua 1:8. And this is beginning in the how. And I'm reading out of the New Living. But I'm going to start with verse 7. Joshua 1:7, it says, be strong and very courageous. Now, being courageous means you may still feel fear, but don't let it stop you. Don't let it overtake you. So be strong. And very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper. Only then will you have good success in all you do. So we have, in order to have a strong spirit, we're going to have to get the Word of God in our heart and mind. We need to be thinking about it. Amen? Because where our mind goes, our life will follow. So if our mind goes in the gutter, our life will fall in the gutter. If our mind goes to the higher place, our life will go to the higher place. Amen? And we don't want to go with the gutter. And see, that's where the direction of the world is going right now, because it's being led by Satan. And and you know what? They're putting it out there 24/7. So we need to be in the Word day and night. Amen? Because that's our defense. Amen? Let's look at Psalms 91:4. Psalms 91:4 says this. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. In the New Living, it says this, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. I like that. In the King James, it says, His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So his truth, our buckler, is able to make us stand. Plus our protection. It's like a force field around our life when we're filled with his promises, when we're filled with the truth. Because if it's not this, it's a lie. It's a lie. Who are we going to trust? We can't even trust ourselves. There's all... Yes, thank you, Lord. Pastor Lyle was talking about thoughts. Well, thoughts have only two sources. They're ideas, and they only have two sources, and one is God and one is the enemy. And each idea, each thought has a destination. Each thought and idea is taking us somewhere. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm going with God's thoughts. You know, I don't like the sound of where the enemy is trying to take us. We can see it now, what his true intentions are, and it's dark. It's not good. And we are the light of the world, so we need to get full of the light of God's thoughts. Amen. Let's look at, I want to look at Matthew 11:2, because this is John the Baptist, and he's in prison. And doubt started to creep in. You know, that can happen in prison. You know, I'd rather go the way Peter and Paul did. They got free from prison because they didn't let that doubt come in. But John, no condemnation, because I don't know if I would do any better. But he was in prison and doubt started to creep in. John 11:2 says this, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Doubt started to come in. And with doubt comes fear, and fear will paralyze you. And Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. You know, we don't need to turn away. Jesus told us, he told us in Mark 4 and in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, that when the word comes, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He'll try and get you offended. He'll try and get you to let go of those promises. But if we don't let go, we get it. Amen? And so he's saying here, don't let go. Don't let go. So a strong spirit will be discussing the promises of God and not the problem. Amen? We pray the problem. We pray the problem and we talk the answer. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12, and I want to start at verse 1. And I have these in two versions. And it says this, and so, this is the New Living, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. To give our bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find truly acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You know, he's saying if you live God's way, if you give it up as a sacrifice, that's truly the way to worship him. And then we get the benefits of it. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know what God's will is, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. See, the world thinks we're just blindly following God, but actually, when we get the wisdom of God in us, we become intelligent because he is. Amen. But see, I didn't know that because I was taught otherwise. I was taught, man, we'll go in the dark ages if we get in the Bible. You know, you'll get dumb. That's what I was taught. I believed it. Did not know it's the exact opposite. Really, if you think about it, God made everything. That would be the smartest thing to do. Amen. Verse 2. So do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove, I like that, you'll prove it out for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Amen. That sounds good to me. So we're making a conscious decision to turn away from the way the world does it, and we're renewing our mind to God's way of thinking, to His thoughts, and replacing our old way of thinking to God's way of thinking, and that gives us a strong spirit. Because when we have a strong spirit, you're full of confidence instead of fear. And that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to get people full of fear because they see we've awakened. They see we got up and we're learning our Bill of Rights and we're learning our Constitution and we're speaking up, and they're like, we don't like this. So they're trying to pump out more fear. But if we stand firm and keep asserting our rights, guess what? The enemy's going to have to let go. And that's what they're afraid of. Amen. If we stand together, we will win. We can't let that fear take over. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Because it's like a war of ideas, really. It's a spiritual war of ideas. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. So we are to take every thought, every idea, every theory, and judge it according to the Word of God. Bring it into the obedience of Christ Jesus, because this is the truth. If we stray away from the truth, it's a downhill. And we see it now. I mean, we were not raised to believe that this was the truth. I wasn't raised to believe that this was the truth. I just raised to believe this was just one of many ideas, and it was a dangerous idea. But now I can see the wisdom of our founding fathers, because our Declaration of Independence states creation. I've been reading it and studying it, and I realized they made a statement of creation in our very first founding document, the Independence of Declaration of Independence, and they stated creation and the Word of God and natural law too. Anyway, that's a different teaching. Amen. So let's look at James 4:7, because they mentioned strongholds. A stronghold is anything that has a strong hold of you, and that's usually going to be ideas. It's usually going to be an addiction, and so we need to build a stronghold of the Word of God. If we get a stronghold of the Word of God, we'll have a strong spirit. But if we get a stronghold of perversion or some kind of addiction, our spirit will be weak. And so what is James 4:7 says? It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, if we have a stronghold that's wrong, we're not going to resist the enemy. We're going to be resisting God. I did that most of my life. I resisted God and I submitted to the devil, not knowing that's what I was doing. But if we, and the reason he does that, because he knows if we resist him, he has to let go. Why? Because he's defeated. We've been given the power and the authority. So he's got to work, come at us with ideas and deception. And so if poverty tries to get on you, we are to resist it. Resist poverty. Don't embrace it. Don't say, oh, it must be God's will. That was pretty tricky, wasn't it? Resist it. You know, look for a job. Go get a college and keep sowing and tithing and keep speaking the blessing of God instead of speaking poverty. If you get sick, see, people have the wrong idea. If you go into the doctor, you're not believing God. That is so wrong. When you're going to the doctor, you're resisting sickness. But what we need to do is first always seek God. First seek God, and then you pray and believe, and then you can go to the doctor and believe that God's going to work with that doctor. Your spirit will get so strong, you'll eventually not need a doctor, but we all have to start somewhere. Amen? And then when we're going to the doctor, we're resisting that sickness. We need to resist strife. We need to resist tyranny, because if we resist, Satan has to flee. Amen? You know, my pastor in family life, well, let me do one more scripture and then I'll share it with you. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says this, we are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for all you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we are to give thanks not for the problem. We don't, oh, I thank you for this divorce. No, that's silly. We can give thanks in this situation because you know what? And I think, you know, depending on the situation, why you have to get a divorce, but you be thankful. You can decide, I'm going to stand for this marriage. Or they made the decision, you know, who knows what the situation, I'm going to stand, I'm going to come out greater. You know, I'm going to come out greater. Be thankful for any situation, not for the situation, but we can be thankful for any, in any attack, because if we stand on the promises of God, we know we're going to come out ahead. Amen. We're going to come out ahead if we stand on the promises of God. My pastor, Pastor Terry Sparks in Family Life in Sulphur Springs, he travels to Argentina and he travels to Ghana, Africa, and he teaches pastors now. Thousands of pastors. It's amazing. He's a professor now also at Christ for All Nations somewhere in Dallas. And he teaches future pastors. And anyway, when he was our pastor, there was a time that he was dying. We didn't know it. He kept it to himself. And we just thought he was just about to turn over the church to his son and daughter-in-law because they were preaching all the time. So we didn't think nothing of it. But for a full year, he was dying. He really needed a new heart. It got to the point there was nothing else they can do. And he said, I'm not going that route. I'm going to believe in faith. But he could feel he had no energy. He was dying. He could feel. He felt like he was dying. And that fear tried to grab a hold of him. You know, he even went to Argentina at a revival they were having, but regretted it. As soon as he got there, he wanted to go home because he was dying. But he couldn't get home. But and his wife told him, you need to fight this. You don't want me marrying someone else, do you? He said, that's what she told him. Because she was mad at him for giving up. See, and he got scared. He was scared because he was dying. See, he kept speaking the word. He kept speaking faith. Even though he didn't feel it, He kept speaking faith. I'm healed by stripes of Jesus. He would listen to it. He would listen to it, and he never told any of us. Only his family knew. Numerous people laid hands over him, prayed over him, spoke over him. He kept standing in faith, but it didn't look like it was getting any better. It looked and felt like it was getting worse. For a full year. One day, as usual, he was at church. As usual, his son was preaching, you know, for a year. And as usual, his father-in-law came up and said, I feel led to pray over you. He said, well, go ahead. So he prayed over him, laid hands on him. And he said, I received that. And as usual, it didn't feel any different. But he said, in faith, I received that. He kept, every day, he kept speaking over his health for a year. He goes home, everything's the same. In the morning, he goes up and gets his coffee. He gets out his word. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I feel good. All of a sudden, he realized, I got my energy back. I feel good. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, he goes and gets a good doctor report. He was healed. And I'll tell you, he started preaching again, and he was just jumping all over the stage. I think I'd be excited, too. Amen. And he was even stronger than ever on faith. And he's still going strong. Now he's a professor, plus traveling to Ghana and Argentina and wherever he goes. You know, but he could have given up. And if he had given up, he wouldn't be here today. He wouldn't be here today. You know, it didn't feel like it was working. You got to keep at it until finally it takes over. Until finally it takes over. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The New Living says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. In the King James, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We have a sound mind. You know, there was a time I thought I was going crazy. I was in depression to the point where I couldn't even sleep at night. And all these thoughts, it was torment in the mind. It was terrible. I even had to go on antidepressants for a while, which, I mean, it kind of made it better, and it kind of made it worse. Finally, you know, and my doctor was a Christian. He happened to be a Christian. He explained. He said that the antidepressant is just for temporary, so you got to keep renewing your mind to the Word of God. You've been thinking negative and fear for so long, it's developed a groove in your physical brain. And so the antidepressant is just to change the chemistry to make a new groove, but it's only temporary. It'll jump right back if you keep thinking the same negative way. You got to renew your mind to the Word of God, and it will change your chemistry in your brain. I was like, wow. And so even though I didn't feel like it, because when you're in depression, you don't feel like doing nothing. When you're in depression, takes all your energy just to go take a shower. It takes all your energy just to put a smile. And for years, I mean, I'm still learning how to smile. Even though I'm happy, I always look mad. My girl, are you mad? What's wrong? Are you mad? I'm not mad. So I'm learning how to smile now. So it looks like how I really feel. And so anyway, so I did. Even though I didn't feel like it, I had to force myself to sing Christian songs of thankfulness. Even though I didn't feel thankful, I would sing songs of thankfulness. I would listen to songs of thankfulness. I would listen to faith teachings. And you know what? And you know, another thing the doctor told me is that depression, if you write down depression on your health insurance and everything, he said, don't do that. Don't do it on, write it down on your job thing. Don't even write it down that you were ever on an antidepressant. Because he said, the medical industry and the insurance industry knows that once you're in deep, that kind of depression, it's almost impossible. They keep going back. It's impossible to get out. But if you renew your mind, you'll never go back. Pretty amazing, huh? I didn't know that. That's what he told me. I don't know if that's true. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an insurance person. But that's what I was told. And I'll tell you, I've had bad days. Come on, who doesn't? But I've never been to that degree ever. Thank goodness. Amen. That's terrible. It's tormenting. Tormenting. Let's see. My next scripture is going to be Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Now, I don't know if y'all know a guy named Brian Welch. He calls himself Head, and he was a lead singer of Korn, which was a screamer death band at the time. Anyway, he's all tattooed up. Well, he's a Christian now, and he shared his testimony. He said it's very demonic and perversion and a lot of drugs. And he looked like he was on top of the world. You know, he had money, he had houses, he had cars, but no one knew. But at night, he was crying out to God for help. His wife had left him. He had a baby girl. He was addicted to drugs. He couldn't stop. He was addicted to perversion. He couldn't stop. And he was crying out to God when no one was around. And so out of the blue, this one real estate guy that was showing him houses invited him to church. He probably didn't think he needed to come to church. He probably didn't think he'd want to go to church, but he knew everyone needs church. Everyone needs God. And he said yes, because he was desperate. He'd been praying, God, I need help. And this is the scripture that touched him right here. Matthew 11, 28 says this. My 28 says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Isn't that good? Jesus is gentle. He's not harsh. You should have not have done that. That's not Jesus. He is gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, Brian heard that and he went and got saved. And he went and renewed his mind to the Word of God, because he ended up with a really good pastor that told him, you need to renew your mind. And then he, you know, him and his band separated, got their own bands, but he kept reaching out to them. Now they're all saved, and I believe they're back together again, too, and they're all saved. One of them's actually getting active in politics because he says we need to save our nation. But see, that's the power of God. That's what happens when you get a strong spirit, and a strong spirit only happens through Jesus and the Word of God. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, the Word of God even goes into our bodies and into our minds. It's alive, it's active and powerful. That's why the enemy is trying to remove it. But it's not going to work, amen? Because God has a plan, and they're good plans. He always has a plan, so we always have to make the Word first place. First place, because the world is producing their thoughts and ideas 24/7. So we want to make the Word first place and the final say. Make it a habit to make it a final say in every decision. Amen. It's the only way to victory, and we want victory. Amen. I want us to look at Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. You know, a lot of people, they want answers. They want God to intervene, but they don't want to do it God's way. And see, God has a different way than the world's way. The world's way, the curse is attached to it. See, I should have had this written down, but when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, and then, I can't remember the name of the group, they wanted to take them down, but they couldn't. And so Balaam, I think that's his name, there's only one way to defeat them, and you got to lead them away from God, and they used pretty girls to do it. So the devil knows the only way he can get to us is to lure us away from God's way, because the world's way has the curse, but God's way is the blessing and protection. Amen. And so here's Jesus. This is why Jesus is telling us, Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things which I say? He's not being a jerk. He's saying it with love. I used to think he was a jerk. I'm sorry. That's the honest truth. You know, and thank God that God loved me anyway. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the floods arose, the storm beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the storm beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. See, and being strong in spirit doesn't mean we're not going to have storms. Doesn't mean strong storms aren't going to come, but we're going to be standing firm on the truth of God's word. That's the difference if we hear the word and learn to do it and apply it to our life. The storms may come, but it won't win. Amen. When we resist that devil, I'm not backing off, devil. You might as well give up now. You know, and I can be thankful during the storm because I know I'm not going to back off and I'm going to get to watch Satan slink away. Amen. And you know, it takes faith to do it God's way, because it takes faith to forgive. Because sometimes when you forgive, it feels like you're going to lose. It feels like you're opening yourself up when you forgive and walk in love. But that doesn't mean you don't protect yourself. Come on, we might have to take arms. I'm ready to take up arms if we need to. It's our duty to protect our loved ones. It's our duty to be a voice to those who don't have a voice. And it's our duty to protect those that are oppressed and to set them free. And that takes faith. That takes love to put ourselves out in danger. But don't you know that when we do it God's way, he will protect us and help us? Right? When we trust in him enough to forgive, walk in forgiveness, and yet in boldness, he's going to protect us. Amen. When we have a strong spirit, it will control our response to when things happen. I used to fall apart. It used to be bad. I used to be really good at pity parties. Oh, yeah. Now I look back, it's embarrassing now, because I didn't know people could hear me. Because I'd go to my bathroom, that was my pity party place, and I didn't know the whole house could probably hear me. Oh, well. Can't undo it now. Let's look at Proverbs 1:31. Proverbs 1:31. This is when we're doing it our own way. Our own way. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Another version says they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. The King James says they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I don't want to do that. I want to live God's way and get the blessing. It's so much better. It may take longer. It may be a little bit, you know, it may seem hard to deny yourself and I want it now. But you know what? Doing it God's way, you're going to have it forever. It's not going to be temporary. Amen. You don't lose when you choose God. Even though it looks it at times, you're not. If you lose it, then it's not good. Let's look at Romans 8:28. And this is what happens when we choose God's way instead of our way or the world's way. Romans 8:28 says this, and this is New Living. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Amen. He called it. He wants us to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. We you know what? We carry his glory. We are royalty. We are children of the Most High God. And we are carriers of the Spirit of the living God. Isn't that powerful? We need to renew our minds and thoughts and attitudes to that. You know, get rid of that victim mentality, which I used to have, and into an overcoming attitude. Amen? You know, the Word of God has the power to change your life. You know, when God reached me, I was living in a trailer park in Moriarty, New Mexico, next to the railroad tracks. And it wasn't good. I was hanging out with the bikers, and this was before bikers got saved. There was no Christian bikers back then. These were the drug dealers. And the ones I hung out with, I think they were trafficking human lives. I didn't realize it. I look back now, and they had all these 15-year-olds hanging out with them. And I'm looking back, wow. And they were into witchcraft, the ones I was with. It was dangerous. One day, and in fact, there was this one girl, she was 15, pregnant, and after I got saved, I ran into her and I said, you need to go home. Your parents are in Phoenix, you need to go home and leave this life, because it was bad. It was full of perversion, full of drugs, and full of violence, and it was dangerous. And I was in this trailer park, and I was this pastor, I think it was First Baptist Moriarty, and I guess it was a deacon. They were going door to door. And I must have had a bad day. I don't remember, but he was asking, do you need prayer? And I happened to say yes. So he came in, and he probably smelled bad. And he prayed. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what he prayed, you know. It didn't look like nothing changed, but looking back, I can see my thoughts started to change. I just didn't know it, because I started thinking, I need a better life. I need to get away from here. And I couldn't just leave. I had to sneak away, because I'd already been told if I took Jimmy, I couldn't leave with him. So I packed the bag, hid it, pretended everything was fine, and first opportunity, I snuck out. And I had told that little girl, that 15-year-old, you need to go home. And I'd say about a couple years later, I ran into her. She was still there, living in a bus, with track marks up and down her arm. I prayed with her, and I told her, you need to go home. And see, it's the Word of God that will change you. Because I started going to church, I started reading the Word, and I started wanting something. I got supernaturally delivered from drugs. But I kept going back and forth. I mean, I never went back that far. But I kept going all the way for God, and then I'd pull back. All the way for God, and then pulling back and forth. And I noticed as I went back, it seemed to get worse and worse. So I finally got to the point I made up my mind, you know what, I'm not going back no more. I'm going all the way. And after that, it gets faster and faster for the good. It can change your life, because I'll tell you, I wasn't the smartest one. I had fried my brains. That's a miracle I can... I was an embarrassment to my own family, and if you should ever meet my family, yeah. Yes, it was bad. You know how Ozzy Osbourne talks? I was almost that bad. Not quite, but almost. And God renewed, he healed my brain cells. He did, and he healed my body. I was in bad shape with my body. I had gallstones constantly attacking me, kidney stones attacking me. I mean, probably from all the stress of my bad lifestyle. And God has healed me. You know, I still have issues. I still have issues. I'm not perfect, and we have challenges. But now I know what to do. I go to the Word of God. Amen? And I stay full of the Word of God so I can have a strong spirit. But did it happen overnight? No. When I was in the middle of my mess, it seemed like it was never going to get better. I'd be frustrated. What's going on? What's going on? You know? But then finally, you finally get to the place where you have peace in your heart. peace in your mind. You look back, I'm like, it really wasn't that long. It just felt like it. Amen. Don't give up. Because there are times you're going to feel like giving up. You don't want to give up. No matter how bad your situation is, it's never too bad for God. Never too bad for God. Let's look at James 1. James 1, I want to start at verse 19. And this is in the New Living. It says this, understand this, dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak. That was a challenge for me. And slow to get angry. That was another thing. I was angry all the time. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law and do what it says, the perfect law that sets you free, and do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You'll get the blessing. You'll get everything that belongs to you if you keep looking at it and keep looking at it. Because you know what? you want to look at it with the right mindset. When I've been with the ladies at the jail, I realized you can look at the word and see nothing but the curse. And I had to teach them, no, we've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed. Jesus took the curse so we can live in the blessing. So when you're, if you're saved, you got to get saved. Otherwise, you're still in the curse. If you get saved, then you got to look for the blessing. That we, the blessing is what belongs to us. Don't look in there and feel condemned. Say, thank God I'm free from that. Thank God I'm forgiven from that. I thank God this promise belongs to me. Amen. You got to look at it and say, thank God this belongs to me. Amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit. And then when it's a habit, it's easier to do. In fact, God, it's amazing how he made us. Because we've been trained in the world's way to where we learn to do, have bad habits, to where we just do it automatically, right? You can't even get free without the power of God. Well, God made it to where we make a habit of doing good, it'll be automatic. You have to train yourself to do wrong. Amen? That's how God made us. And let's let's look at this. Deuteronomy 30:19, and we'll have one other scripture, and that'll be it. It says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. That's what did it for me. I made a decision. I wasn't going to move from God. Committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. We don't have to be doomed. We don't have to be doomed. I do want to look at this. I want to look at the dangers of the last days. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. This is important. 2 Timothy 3, and then one more after this. I forgot. The Lord just reminded me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Because we're not doomed. We're not doomed. We're not doomed. Thank goodness our founding fathers didn't say, oops, it's the last days. This is just what's going to happen. Let's just, you know, and then let it happen. No, they resisted and they won. And they won a Christian nation. We are to follow their footsteps until the very last day Jesus comes and gets us. And it says this, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will be religious, but they will reject the power that could save them. Amen. They will... I lost my place. They will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. This is the power that can make us godly. They don't know it. This is the power that they need. And yet they scoff at it, and they hate it. And really, it's the spirit inside them that hates it. And so we need, it's not terrible times because it's, this is the time, let's pour out the end times. No, what's happened is the devil has brought all these bad things, and those bad things make the times hard. It's the things. If we do things God's way, it brings good times. But doing it the enemy's way brings bad times. It makes it hard. It makes it dark. And so we need, they're going to keep doing it. There's some that are never going to turn to God. But we need to reach as many as we can and show them there's a better way. Even though it's the last days, Jesus is going to come and he's going to rescue us. We need to try and reach as many as we can and keep trying to reach our nation until the very day Jesus comes and gets us. Because we can change the world. We just got to do the opposite of what the devil's doing. Amen. And then one more. And it's Galatians 6:9. I had more, but we're running low on time. Galatians 6:9 says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Don't get tired of doing what is good, for at just the right time we'll reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up. So keep doing good, and we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up. So let's not give up. Amen. We can win this. And we're destined to win if we don't give up. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us helpless. You didn't leave us without defense. In fact, we know we have the right to self-defense because you even made the animals. Before there was even a need to defend themselves, you made sure they could defend themselves. You gave them weapons to defend their own lives, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the power we need to do what's impossible. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that opened the way for our covenant so we can go boldly to your very presence to receive whatever we need in our time of need. And for the forgiveness of sin that separated us, no more separation. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us the word of God so we can have a strong spirit so that we can receive everything your word said we could have. And Lord, I just thank you now, right now, Lord. I just pray that as we leave here, we'll be full of your power and we'll be full of your confidence. And if there's any of you that got a hold of this CD or if you're listening to it on our website, voiceofbelieverschurch.org, we're on Facebook too, and you don't know if you have Jesus, you need to get born again. That's the only way out of this darkness, because everyone is born into the kingdom of Satan, into his kingdom, and the only way out is to get born again into the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of Jesus. And all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus will forgive you if you ask, and that he has the power to do it because he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sin, and he was resurrected on the third day. And right now he's standing on the right-hand side of the Father. If you believe that in your heart and you ask Jesus into your heart, he will come into your heart. Just ask him right now. And if you made that decision or if you need prayer, just contact us. We'd love to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just release this, my family, in Christ, Lord, that we will go out of here full of your spirit, full of your power, and full of your blessing. And your blessing says we're blessed going in, we're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed in whatever we put our hand to, because you anointed us with power and love and a soundness of mind. You gave us the keys to the kingdom so that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would be empowered to go out and tell everyone the good news that you're for us. And you came because you love the world, and you came to save the world. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. Amen.